one bank's $500 million tax fraud settlement.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Deutsche Bank has agreed to pay more than $500 million in fines to settle charges of tax fraud. U.S. prosecutors say Deutsche Bank used shelters to help thousands of its clients skirt billions in taxes. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more.
The scale of the evasion was huge. The U.S. Treasury lost almost $6 billion. The case goes back to the 1990s. Accounting firm KPMG, with Deutsche Bank's help, arranged for several thousand wealthy Americans to hide their income in a range of illegal tax shelters. KPMG's already paid almost $500 million in fines for this. Now it's Deutsche Bank's turn. Richard Murphy runs an anti-tax evasion group in Britain. He says we've probably seen the end of these large, blatantly illegal schemes, and certainly Deutsche Bank's likely to keep its nose clean in the immediate future.
I think 553 million, which I suspect is the biggest ever fine imposed with regard to a tax case in the world, is some significant measure of deterrence, even for a bank as big as Deutsche Bank.
He says the wealthy tax dodgers are likely to be chastened too. Most of them have been forced to repay the tax with penalties. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The holidays are almost here, and a lot of us will be braving the airports, pat-downs and all. If you are traveling this holiday season, chances are you booked your flight online. About three-quarters of travelers do that these days, and lots of them use discount websites like Expedia and Travelocity. Airlines have not been big fans of these sites because they've pushed fares down. Now, one major airline is opting out of a major discount travel site entirely. Marketplace's Eve Tro has more.
If you go to the travel website Orbitz.com today and check off American Airlines as your preferred carrier, you'll get an error message. Sorry, can't find any flights available. That's because yesterday, American yanked all of its flights off Orbitz and ended a 10-year relationship with the company. Travel industry consultant John Strickland says American may be taking its cue from successful discount carriers like Southwest and JetBlue. He says their philosophy about third-party travel sites is this.
If we believe we can fill our seats, we don't need to pay out a chunk of our revenue to somebody else to do the job for us.
Strickland says by selling tickets on its own site, American can more easily offer additional products, like seat upgrades or priority boarding fees. American says all tickets already bought on Orbitz will be honored, but for any changes or future purchases, customers have to contact the airline directly. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
The markets are mixed this Wednesday morning. Tokyo's Nikkei Index shed a quarter of a percent. London's FTSE Index up a third of a percent this morning. Yesterday was a good day for U.S. markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped half a percent to 11,533, the highest it's been since August of 2008. We are expecting some holiday cheer a little later this morning. An estimate for third quarter economic growth is expected to be revised upward. And that multi-million dollar settlement Stephen Beard talked about earlier seems to be rolling off Deutsche Bank's back this morning. Its stock is up about a tenth of a percent in after-hours trading. Financial analyst Meredith Whitney says we're about to see another economic crisis. Whitney made a name for herself by predicting the first economic crisis before 2008. She says this time it's cities that could take down the U.S. economy. Whitney predicts municipalities will default on hundreds of billions of dollars worth of municipal bonds. Here's what she said on TV's 60 Minutes.
It has tentacles as wide as anything I've seen. I think next to housing, this is the single most important issue in the United States and certainly the largest threat to the U.S. economy.
And just so you know, many people are calling Whitney's statements greatly exaggerated.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
Okay, full disclosure time. I have not finished my Christmas shopping. Not even close, actually. Luckily, I'm not alone. As it turns out, American shoppers are procrastinating like never before. David Lazarus is the consumer columnist for the Los Angeles Times. He joins us now to talk holiday retail. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Retail sales have been pretty good this season so far. It's strange, though, that we seem to be spending again, given that unemployment is basically worse and personal income is flat. Why, since the economy's
you know, basically where it was last year, is consumer spending up so much this season?
Retail sales are up, surprisingly up. In fact, a lot of economists are now recrunching their numbers because they hadn't expected consumers to turn out in force like this. The first thing I conclude is that, well, people are just tired of being miserable. People have finally said, all right, that's it. I don't want to be gloomy Gus all the time. I'm going to go out and treat myself a little bit. And this is the season for doing that.
Like frugality fatigue.
Exactly. But here's the other interesting data point. About half of all Americans have put off their Christmas shopping until this week. And I know that we're a nation of procrastinators. So the fact that so many people have put it off tells me that we've also become savvier shoppers as we've come through this downturn, because people know that it's a game of chicken with retailers. And the longer you wait, the chances of you getting a deep discount on that thing you want is going to happen.
I know that you do a lot of kind of on-the-ground consumer watching. Is there anything that you've noticed this season just observing at malls, shopping centers, things like that?
Yeah, I would say that people are getting a little learier of these extended warranties that get pushed on people. I mean, the businesses have been very aggressive with that, and that, there's a good reason for that. There's an 80% profit margin, at least that's what the experts tell me, for these extended warranties.
I know that at some stores they're offering them for small things like headphones, everything they'll offer you. I bought a mouse. They tried to sell me an extended warranty on a mouse.
It's nothing but gravy. And my advice to people is don't bother, because here's an interesting thing. Consumer Reports tells me that the median cost for the typical warranty almost matches, dollar for dollar, the median cost of the typical repair of that same product.
Well, David, thanks as always for joining us. David Lazarus is the consumer columnist for the LA Times. Thanks so much, David.
Ho, ho, ho.
And finally, have you ever wondered what a recession sounds like? The London Philharmonic's composer in residence has written a musical interpretation of the financial crisis. Here's how he summed up the world economic crisis in song. Is it just me, or does that sound a little like Debussy? I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Retailers. They'll try anything to keep you coming back and keep you buying more. Sure, there are the super sales and gimmicks, but they're also doing something a lot simpler.
We're returning to civility, courtesy, and a way of, you know, actually honoring customers that has seemed far too absent, I think, for the last 20 years.
I'm Tess Vigeland. It's the return of the thank you. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.